You're not going to overcome your addictions and temptations right away. But as far as the sin that separates you from God, you can instantly have victory right now in this moment. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, salvation is not a bunch of do. Salvation is done. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, paid for your sin. When you put your trust in him as the Son of God who shed his blood, was buried and rose again to pay for that sin, God gives to you his righteousness. Hey there, my name is Jesse Martinez, and I'm the host here of Bible Line. We're a YouTube channel that exists as question and answers for Christians, but we also want people to find victory in their lives. And I'm not sure if you even know who I am until you clicked on this video for the title, but I want to talk about something that I have seen as a real issue in the YouTube community and just in life in general. I'm a father. I recently became a father just a year ago. My wife and I were blessed to adopt a little girl from birth, and I'm a man too. And there are a lot of things that I struggle with in my Christian life and in my personal life. And I've found that YouTube and other places on the internet, they try to fill that void with this term mental health. Before I became a father, and as I grew up from a little boy to a young man to a man in my 30s now, I always had the truth of knowing that my sin was paid for. But there's a lot of people who don't know that, and that may be you. And I think the world has deceived you and tricked you into thinking that your problems, your addictions, your temptations are a result of poor mental health and a lack of mental discipline. I want to take some time in this video to tell you what the Bible says about our mental health, our addictions, and our temptations, how serious it is, how totally unable we are to deliver ourselves from those things in and of ourselves, and what God has provided in the way of a solution. So you may be coming onto this video thinking, I'm struggling with mental health. I'm a guy, I'm struggling with whatever sin you insert there. For a majority of guys in today's day and age, with the pervasiveness of sexual content on the internet, many men are struggling with pornography. You may already be a Christian, meaning you've put your trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you're still struggling with these things, and you're starting to question if you're, quote, really saved, end quote. Or maybe you're just new to this whole idea of spirituality. You're new to this idea that there's something beyond yourself. Whoever you are, I want to talk to you first about the basic things. And that's what this video is going to accomplish. The first thing is this. Every man is a sinner by nature and is condemned before God. We're going to look at some passages here to discuss that. The first one is Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. The writer is the Apostle Paul. He used to be a Pharisee, which is just a religious leader in his culture, as he is a Jew. He says this, "What then, are we better than they?" And he's drawing a comparison between they being Israelites and the other people being Gentiles. He makes this statement, "No, in no wise," which is just an old way to say in no way, "for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." Now this includes you, this includes me. Let's see what the Bible says about man and his nature that he got from birth. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps, which is a snake, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." This does not just describe mankind as a system or as a society. This describes individuals like you and like me. We're born this way. If we have a moment of honesty, just between you and me right now, no one had to teach you how to lie. No one had to tell you that stealing was wrong. No one had to tell you that curse words and filthy images and all of those things are wrong. We know that they are, but we choose to do them. We're sinners. This is what we do. And I'm not saying that to make you feel totally helpless. I'm trying to get you to understand that your addictions, your temptations, this mental health issue that you struggle with is not because of something that is working against you and you have to try and fix it. It's you. It's me. This is who we are. We are fallen and we are broken. I want to look at another scripture here. Specifically, the same chapter, verse 23 says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That word sin means to miss the mark. I want you to imagine for a moment you and I were having a three-point shootout contest. And the uniqueness of this three-point shootout contest is that we are going to stand at the base of Mount Everest and put the hoop on the very top. And we have 100 million tries, each one of us, to try and simply throw that basketball into the hoop on the top of Mount Everest. You can't even see the hoop. Nor can I. Now, I might throw further than you, or you might throw further than me. We might try overhand, underhand, sidearm it, whatever it is, but none of us are going to actually complete the goal. I may do better than you, you may do better than me, but the measurement is not between the two of us. The measurement is who is going to accomplish the goal. When the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," the basketball hoop in that illustration represents the glory of God. It's perfection. That is what is required to be sinless. You have to be perfect, and we all fall short of that. That's why we are called, as this verse says, "For all have sinned." John chapter 3 in verse 16 through 18 says some things here that are important for us to understand. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He's a ruler in Israel. He's a little, he's a teacher. Little guy on the big totem pole there, but he's supposed to know some things. But he communicates, Jesus does, to Nicodemus some important truths about how to get to the kingdom of heaven. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You may have even known that verse. Maybe you were a kid and you went to church a couple of times and you remember hearing that verse. Well, there's a bunch of verses after it. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19 goes on to say, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world," and that's referring to Jesus, "and men as a society and as individuals loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I know none of this sounds like good news right now, but I want to make sure you understand the total depth of our state. We are sinful people, and we need a Savior, and that Savior is not masked in treatment. It's not masked in more discipline. It's not disguised as mental health. We need someone to pay for this sin that separates us from God. I want you to focus on verse 18. "He that believeth not is condemned already." We were born into a state of condemnation. What is the condemnation? We have sinned against God. We have come up short in the standard of his glory. We need a Savior. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 also demonstrates the complete uselessness of trying to reform yourself with good intentions, good deeds, all that kind of stuff. Just to tell you, my wife the other day, she went shopping and we needed tissues in the house. And she wasn't paying attention because, you know, you just buy tissue boxes, you know, whatever is a good price and whatever is actually tissues. And she brought them home and I'm looking at the tissue boxes and there's all this writing on it. I thought to myself, like, what is that? I've never seen that before. And they were self-affirmations. And I was, you know, being a student of God's word, knowing what the real problem is, this just really took me back. And I was reading these self-affirmations, and it's just, if I can be direct, it's total deception. People are learning how to lie to themselves. They're learning how to look at themselves and say, well, this is a sickness that I have. You know, this problem with stealing, it's a sickness that I have. This problem with pornography, it's a sickness that I have. There's really nothing I can do. It's just the result of who, you know, how my chemicals are. And people are learning to start saying things to themselves like, I am worthy. I am loved. There's nothing wrong with me. I am worthy. I am loved. There's nothing wrong with me. But they're not looking to any kind of success just in the chanting of it. And that's on the tissue boxes. Knowing that people are going to buy this to probably have a cry every once in a while, you know, and we're going to just sit there and kind of deceive ourselves into this idea that we're going to better ourselves. Well, Isaiah 64:6 says something along those lines, but we are all as an unclean thing. Now, Isaiah is a prophet to Israel, and he's speaking about Israel here, but this is also for anybody who's not a Jew either. This is everybody. We just saw in Romans 3, for all have sinned. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, all our self-affirmations, all of our therapy, all of our, oh, I'll get it right, I'll figure it out, you know, I need to have charms, I need to have support, all this kind of stuff, they're filthy rags. Now, I usually, when I preach and I get to this passage, I never really describe what a filthy rag is because it's very graphic, but for the sake of what we're doing right now, I want you to know what that means. Those are menstrual rags. This is the result of the menstrual cycle and the cleaning up of that. Those rags are the equivalent of our good deeds presented to God. It's pretty graphic, and that's not to shame women or anything like that. That's just to say, why would we present something of that quality to God and call it good? It's not. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our sins, like the wind, have taken us away. Back to that tissue box. We're at the point where in mainstream consumerism, in a product as innocuous as a box of tissues, we are getting people to start lying and believing the lie that there's something good within us. You just got to have a little bit of change. That's it. You just got to start, you know, running more. You just have to eat better. You just have to, you know, chant these different things and everything will be better. It'll get all right. And meanwhile, people are taking their lives because they're not finding any victory in that. So what's the solution then? Well, we see very clearly our sins and failures are not a problem of mental health or a lack of mental discipline. It's not solved by positive affirmations. We do not need to redefine sins and medical diagnoses. There is a symptom of our sinful nature, and that's what sin is. This nature manifests itself in sins, and it's all that we have. I'm going to show you Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 1 through 3. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And there's a lot of good in this passage, but I want you to focus on the description of who we are without Christ. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Conversation here is not necessarily the things that we say. This is a old word better understood as behavior. The way that we lived was just according to the lust of our flesh, or just what we desired to do, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. So then what's the solution? I think I don't have to tell you what you already know. Maybe this is the first time that you've been honest with yourself and you've come to the realization, like, the problem is me, not necessarily my environment or my parents. The problem is the choices that I willingly make, and I'm trying to fix something that'll never be fixed. I'm trying to fix something that can only be fixed by intervention from God. Here's God's solution. I think we've done a pretty sufficient job of looking at man's problem, but God's solution is that he sent Jesus to pay the penalty of that sin, all of it, all of it. In Romans chapter 3, in verses 23 through 28, we have a very good description of what happens when a person comes to faith in Christ. It says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation." That's a big word, but it just means a substitutionary sacrifice. "He is a substitutionary sacrifice, propitiation, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he, Jesus, might be just and the justifier of him, you and me, which believe in Jesus." Paul goes on to say, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works are we justified before God? No." And this is the futile repetition of trying to reform yourself and calling it mental health. Like, are you justified before God because you got it better than other people? Your sin still separates you from God. Any kind of practice or any kind of mental discipline is not going to make you justified. It's only faith in Jesus Christ that does that. "And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." The rest of 27 says, Nay, but by the law of faith, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Your problem is in yourself. It's in the choices that we made. The freedom, how you can have that sin paid, is by changing your mind, coming from unbelief to belief. What is that? Well, we like to use it as an illustration here, and so I'll do that for you now. We call this the wallet illustration, but it's just an illustration of how you can know that when you die, you'll go to heaven. And this is how you begin the process of, you know, taking care of the problems in your life. You need to recognize that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. I think you know that. I think that's why you're here. And I'm going to use this hand to represent you, me, everybody who could ever watch this video, everybody in the whole world, and I'm going to let my wallet represent sin. I put this on top of my hand because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, God, he loves us. The Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world." He hates sin, though, because sin separates us from him. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The glory of God is perfection, and you and I fall short of that. We have to be absolutely perfect to get into heaven, but we all have this, sin. God loves us, hates the sin, but the wages of sin is death. If we were to die without having a payment applied, we'd have to spend an eternity separated from God in a literal fire-burning hell. And no amount of good works can pay for this sin. Imagine for a moment, we all went out to the best steakhouse in your area, and you ordered a whole bunch of food, and I did too, and the bill is, you know, hundreds of dollars. And I go up to the cash register there, and I pull out one of these bad boys. This is a library card. And I say, "All right, I'd like to pay my tab, and the gentleman that was with me, I'd like to pay their tab too." And I put down my library card. They're going to go, "Sir, that's not accepted here." "Oh, but I have, you know, 12,000 library points. You can surely use those." No, we need real money. And that's the problem. We're not saved by any good works. We just saw Isaiah 64:6 say that all of our righteousness, all of our good deeds are filthy rags. Somebody has to die for this sin. And I hope it's not you. I know that I could never go to hell. It's not because I'm some great person who's really got it together. It's because of this next part. This hand represents Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He has no sin on him. He came into the world. He's fully God, fully man. And what Jesus did is he came to die for our sin. Yes, your sin. And you may say, and I've heard people tell me this, "You don't know how bad I am." You're correct. I don't know how bad you are, but God did. And he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins anyway. And in John 3:16, we see, "For God so loved the world," that's you and me, "that he gave his only begotten son," that's Jesus Christ, "that whosoever," and here's the victory, folks. It's an instant victory. You're not going to overcome your addictions and temptations right away. But as far as the sin that separates you from God, you can instantly have victory right now in this moment. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, salvation is not a bunch of do. Salvation is done. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, paid for your sin. When you put your trust in him as the Son of God who shed his blood, was buried and rose again to pay for that sin, God gives to you his righteousness. When God looks at you now, he sees the righteousness of his Son. You still have this, and the rest of this video series is going to talk all about how we can have victory over this. But you have the instant victory. You are what the Bible calls born again. Does it matter how much sin you have in your life? Does it matter how many things you've done or what you will do? Because you have put your trust in the covering work of Jesus Christ, that he shed his blood to pay for your sin, the Bible says he is the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. So the moment that you put your trust, which may have just been right now, you may have just been watching this video and said, yes, that makes sense. You don't need a program. You don't need rules. You don't need rituals and ceremony and religion. You need Jesus. And you may have written him off a long time ago because you heard some convincing atheistic argument, or you've just had a really bad experience with Christians. I'm here to tell you, Christians are all sinners, just like you and me. We all still sin, and we're very rude to each other from time to time, and it shouldn't be that way. But that's not an accurate reflection of God. God sent his Son to die for you. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to open my tablet back up here, in verses 17 through 18, talk about what has just happened for some of you that have put your trust in Jesus Christ. By the way, once you're saved forever. You may say, oh, I don't know about that. What if I continue to sin? Well, let me ask you a question. How many sins did Jesus pay for when you were on the cross? Well, he said that he paid for all sin. How many of the sins that he paid for on the cross were in the future for you? All of them. He paid for all of them. So they're all taken care of. Now, that doesn't mean you go and live how you please and just expect that God's okay with that. There's a bunch of stuff we'll talk about in this series, and really one of the reasons why you're here. But it does mean that all of our sin is paid. And this is what gives us the victory now. I know if there were nothing to change about my life when I was 12 years old and I put my trust in Jesus Christ, if there was nothing that changed from that point forward and I died, I'm still going to heaven. I'm going to miss out on a life of blessing here and rewards in heaven, but I'm still going to be in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old things that are passed away here is the penalty for this sin. It's passed away. All things are become new. You're born again. You have a second nature now, a new nature, and we'll talk about that in the next video. Verse 18 says this, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only reconciling means to remove that which is in the way, has the ministry of reconciliation been done because Jesus paid for this. You by faith are now united with God in perfect fellowship. Now the opportunity is for you to go tell somebody else about that ministry of reconciliation. Tell somebody else how they can be passed from death unto life and never be brought into condemnation again. That's John 5:24. I want to leave you with this. This is from the Gospel of John in chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. John is finishing up his gospel account here, and he says this, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's the whole point of this video. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. You mind if I pray for you? I encourage you to watch the next three videos in this series, but I want to pray for you now. There's nothing magical about this, okay? I'm not going to do any heebie-jeebie stuff. This is just me, honestly, in the moment of this recording, praying for you, because I know your struggle and I know it's tough, but you've got to change your mind about how you're going to have victory in this. You got to change your mind and realize one of these days I'm going to die. Where am I going to go? I honestly, with all love, ask you to change your mind and put your trust in Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray for the person that may be watching this and has yet to put their trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that they do. I thank you, Lord, for the power that is in the gospel message. And I pray, Lord, that we can continue to learn and grow by the teaching in your word. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Now, if you have a question about mental health, maybe you're going through something. We're starting this series, and it's just kind of going to kind of be a theme here on Bible Line. It's really not any different than what we've done before, but I'd like for you to email me if you have a question. It's questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We put it right here on the screen for you. You can also check out other videos on the channel where we answer more theological questions, but I am praying for you, and I'm praying that this video will be used as God intends it. And if you trusted Christ as a result of this video today, would you just drop a comment and say, hey, I know I'm going to heaven now. I think that would encourage a lot of people. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Thank you, and God bless.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.